J10, number 8A.
Yes, I was saying on the tape before I had to change it that we can see then that the deep structure of mind, of God, which begins to appear as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, which begins to appear as the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, not only have the surface structure in a revealed text like Science and Health or the Bible, but in Jesus' life. He was, I was saying there about how he was a surface structure presentation of the deep structure. And because he was, we all are. Jesus is just an example. But our life too goes through the same deep structure. We are the deep surface structure of a deep structure. And our life goes through the same ordered development of the deep structure of God. And as I was saying, Jesus looked beneath the surface of things, that he was able to see this deep structure. And that's what it meant, that Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. He was seeing the deep structure of that man, certainly not where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. So he always was looking at the world as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love sees it. So Jesus' life was the showing forth of the deep structure. We know that where he identified himself with the parent mind, the divine mind was his only parent, not Mary or, well, the Immaculate Conception, was the parent there, that the divine mind was the parent mind. And so therefore he freed himself from all the chain and beliefs of the laws of heredity to any human parent. That was step one. He always called Father, and by Father he meant God, the parent mind, the Father, Mother, God. And then, of course, we know he went through the purification process, all those different baptisms that we have. And, of course, we have John Dorley's wonderful account of this life structure here in his book on Matthew. His interpretation of Jesus' life in the word order of Matthew is in this order of Jesus identifying with the parent mind, and there the purification through the various baptisms that he went through of spirit, and there and then also his temptations of soul. He certainly was one that was found without sin, though we know that he was tempted in all ways as we ourselves are, being born of a the belief in this world. He also was tempted by the temptations but did not yield. And we know that he then, through his acknowledging of the divine mind was his source and only source, and that he had that wisdom and purity to focus only on the spiritual realm, which was based on his spiritual understanding, which then gave him the ability to have spiritual power. We certainly know that. And that he took, let the divine principle of the universe interpret the universe in his life. And therefore, at the point of life, he loved that principle so much that he was willing to give up his mortal concept of life, and that enabled him then to heal and have his healings and to demonstrate at truth man as a calculus of ideas. And certainly his fulfillment was to then go through the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. A fulfillment of a life experience to show us that life is not in and of matter. We just leave it there. And in love, the fact that this is his life experience, it's our life experience also, isn't it? That we too must go the same way. The Christ idea makes us acknowledge that the divine mind is our Father, Mother, God, and that we have to have that purity to focus only what is on real. We have to go through the baptism by fire. I think we all have done that. We have to be tempted by soul and not keep backsliding like most of us do, until finally we get the spiritual power that we would love to have, and have that love to base our life only on principle, so we too can see the health and holiness coming out in our life. But you see that there is an unfoldment in this law. We all want to either have health or, if somebody asks us, to heal them. Well, we can't just suddenly say, sure, I'll heal you, or I should be healthy all the time, you see, because I'm a Christian Scientist. There's a lot involved. There's this whole experience of declaring that the parent mind, which is God, is our mind, having the impact of wisdom. There's a whole going through the purification process of purity. There's a whole identification of soul and not being backsliding after all our many temptations before we gain the spiritual power to love that principle so much that it brings health. I mean, there's an order here, isn't there? So that's why Max says that the accentuation on Christian Science is to heal. It's first to gain the letter, isn't it? To gain the understanding that what we are as a mind, spirit, soul, principle, identity, before we can experience that life, truth, and love through science and understanding again and again and again and again and again and again and again in our life. Till finally sickness and error and old age and all that is excluded from our experience. So we see then not only Jesus' life and our life goes through this deep structure, but we also have that surface structure appearing in any concept that comes to us in business, for example, or in the arts, whether we're a fine artist or a musician or a poet. Solving any problems in architecture, whatever, any business that demands the solving of problems, we ourselves in any experience go through the surface structure of the deep structure language of God. Always go through it. We don't recognize it because we don't have the tonality enough in our consciousness to recognize the deep structure. But we can see, therefore, that any experience, first of all, begins with mind. Always begin with mind. The law of creativity. And we through being open to the divine mind, that divine mind just pours in various ideas. And we get these divine concepts come to us according to a solution. We turn the problem out of the way, and we work, as she says, through revelation, reason, and demonstration. And creatively, we know that that infinite God is always supplying us with the abundance of the ideas of mind and the abundance of the ideas of spirit, the abundance of the ideas of soul, the abundance of the ideas of principle, the abundance of the ideas of life, the abundance of the ideas of truth, and the abundance of the ideas of love. We learn that in the law of life and love on Christianity at Absolute Christian Science. That life, the Father, is always giving us the abundance of the ideas of God, of which love, the Mother, is cherishing. So our consciousness, when open to revelation, always gets the abundance of concepts in problem solving. Then, at the point of spirit, we begin to get the development of these ideas. These ideas begin to develop within consciousness. We begin to separate out in problem solving. Well, shall I go for this ideas or these ideas? It always comes up that there are many, it seems like many different solutions to the problem, that we could do it this way or we could do it this way. Well, we could do it sometimes in building a home. It doesn't always have to end up the way we did it. Many different solutions come, so we have the many redundancy ideas at our disposal. But we begin to segregate and separate which we want according to the plan. Always the plan, it's goal causality, whole causality. If we're going to build a house in a certain location, then the plan or the goal, the end always determines the cause. So if that house is going to be in a certain environment, let's say in Florida, if we're on the East Coast, in a warm environment, then we would build the plan differently than if the house is going to be up in Maine, so to speak, with colder winters. So already the plan and goal is determining which ideas we use and which we don't. And therefore, At Seoul, the dry land begins to appear more and more. The identity appears of which of the ideas we're going to use. And finally, the eureka comes and we say, oh, this really does seem to be the better idea and solution to the situation according to the plan, the blueprint, the cosmic blueprint, the individual blueprint. And therefore, we begin to then to see how that idea begins to operate within the plan. It's set into motion. It begins to appear. It begins to take on a life of its own. The house begins to be built. We can see that idea then begins to operate within our consciousness as a creator, within the producer's consciousness, within the builder's consciousness, within the consciousness of everyone involved, until it finally reaches a plan of fulfillment. Any idea that is creative will go through the seven. The whole process of the law of creativity goes through it. And this is just the surface structure, always, of the deeper structure being shown. And if, as I say, if we really had a good tonality of the synonymous terms, we would hear this particular structure coming out in our everyday life experience. Everything goes through it. We just don't recognize it. Everything we do every day goes through this law of creativity. So now we come to that part in the synonym study where we actually then pick up the, for example, the mind compendium. And John Dorley in the synonym study, they didn't have the compendium. Max wrote this in the 1950 with co-workers right after they did the synonym study in the 40s. And therefore, we can see that the next thing that one would do is to take that Dorley-Kapler line when they went into the textbook and through their rules of text interpretation, impersonal scientific rules, ascertain the various ideas for mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So here now we have the list of ideas, and they appear on a page, I believe, six. These are the ideas then that characterize, yes, the this, what I'm showing on the projector then is page six in A Study Aid for the Science of Christian Science by Max Kapler. And these ideas then come from the compendium work that Kapler did going along the Dorley method of ascertaining the ideas from the textbook. Well, as Max says, that it's a very nice list of ideas that they found in the textbook that define mind. He said, though, to be sure that we understand that this is not an exhaustive list. It's only many ideas in the textbook, but not all. It's the ones that were the clearest to them when he wrote the textbook, the compendium, in the 1950s. He said, therefore, that there are no order to whether he put down creator first, or producer, or paramind, or forms. He could have put down guidance first, or intelligence first, or all-knowing first. We shouldn't look for any big, deep, hidden secret behind the way these ideas appear. They're just the way he put them down in a flow that came to him. So with these different ideas, such as creator and producer and parent mind and forms, as we find in compendium number four in our synonym work, we see that with these ideas we need to follow a fourfold process. And this process always is true of not only when we study the seven synonymous terms, but also when we study the other system of reference, part of the system of reference as the fourfold calculus, the four levels also. Now, this appears then on page 14 in the study aid, and this is therefore that ordered way of culturing our consciousness when we study any subject. And every subject we study, we always first want to gain the exact letter. We want to be able first to do what we call concept build. This is always gaining and getting the concept clear. Meaning it's really defining in what the concept means through text analysis and be as defined through their relationships. It's an exercise in thinking through the concept to establish the perfect concept or idea. Well, concept building then, yes, is getting the concept clear. It's really where we define the concept. And once we define the concept, we begin to define it through the textbook. And when it's defined through the textbook, it takes on the nature of a divine concept. When it takes on the nature of a divine concept, we can call it an idea. So once we get the meaning of, for example, creator clear, or the meaning of the term producer clear, or the meaning of the term parent mind clear, or the meaning of the term intelligent clear, then we have gained the exact letter. We have defined the concept in its divine meaning. Then once we have done that with all the ideas under mind, we go on and what we call tonality build. We begin to see that all the ideas of a synonym tightly interwoven so that they form one overall tone of a synonym, including all ideas. We exercise by pondering the ideas together to establish the tone of the synonym itself, embracing all ideas. This means that once we begin to get and have defined all the ideas under mind as they spiritually are defined in the textbook, then we begin to see how those ideas interrelate. How a creator can't be a creator unless it is also a producer, or the parent mind, or a cause, or a influence. That all those ideas under mind interrelate and give us a tone called mind. Now, it's those ideas under mind that are intra-relating together, as I say, give off a tick, 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 tick. And it's that tick, 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 tick that is being given off is a tone. And that tone is called mind. But it's the tone we're after, not the symbol mind. That tone could be called any symbol. In German, mind is called Gemüt. So all the ideas under mind is given the term Gemüt, you see. It doesn't mean so much to us, you see. But it's not the symbol that matters, but it's the tone. So the people studying in Germany, all the ideas under mind may say, oh, that's Gemüt. And we'd say, Gemüt? No, it's mind. Well, again, you see, that it doesn't matter what the word is. We all have the same tonality, whether we use different terminology. So it's the tone we're after, and that is tonality building. Once we see how all the ideas relate under mind, we have the tone mind, for example. Once we get the tone mind, it becomes the structure of our consciousness. Because thinking about the synonym in consciousness building melts into a pure consciousness of the synonyms. Thinking from the synonyms in divinely differentiated consciousness, the divinely objective becomes a humanly subjective. So it's exercising and mothering the synonym in consciousness. Just means, therefore, that at this consciousness building really is the outcome of tonality building. When one sees so clearly that all the ideas interrelate to give off the tone mind, and therefore that tone becomes the structure of our consciousness, and therefore the tone spirit becomes the structure of our consciousness, the tone soul becomes the structure of our consciousness, the tone life, truth, and love become the structure of our consciousness. Once they become the structure of consciousness, they become our very own being. Because consciousness determines being. And the consciousness of the seven synonymous terms for God then become our life experience. That's what we're after, not the wordy sense. So we can't say that we've done the synonym study until we can say that our consciousness is a mind consciousness. Our consciousness is a spirit consciousness. Our consciousness is a soul consciousness. Our consciousness is a principle consciousness. Our consciousness is a life, truth, and love consciousness. So the goal is, and that our consciousness determines our experience, and therefore our consciousness determines our being. This is why it's an ongoing study, and why each one of us every year loves to do the study, because our goal is consciousness, not the exact letter. So you see, this study of the synonymous terms gets away, as I said, the wordy sense of it, and it gets away from it the letter sense, and it gets away the intellectual sense, which just does become dry bones. But because the goal is consciousness, then it's input, process, output, and feedback. Once we've done the study at one time, through input, the concepts, the process, the output, it only takes us to a higher feedback, doesn't it? And all of us that have done the study always say, well, we see the study from a higher way every time we go back to it. And I now have given introductory classes, as I've mentioned, on these basic synonymous terms for 20 years. I mean, I know now that it began in 1975 in the summer schools giving introductory classes, which always touch on a synonym study. And every year I come excited to give the synonym study. I love it. It's great. And it's always new. It's always fresh. I can't learn enough about what it means that these ideas mean. So let's take, for example, then what we would do in our synonym study, the compendium mind. And if you don't have a compendium, then I'll just read to you what I see here. And we will work with the synonymous term mind. I'll just put the ideas on the screen, but I'll talk to us about it and see what is involved in concept building. Therefore, we know then and love the fact that, as I said, that mind then is the hierarchy, deep structure tone, and that it begins to have its surface structure through its ideas. And when we turn to the compendium for ourselves, again, just to enjoy the study or for new ones that we may be introducing to the subject, we love the fact that Max has given to us here, through the analysis of the textbook, what it means spiritually that mind is the creator. All right, I had to stop a few moments, I'm sorry. We see then that, I just pick up the thread somewhere here, that it shows that mind is the creator, and therefore we will see how creator is defined in the textbook. And Max always then shows us, of course, how creator is defined in the textbook, but also then he gives us some nice definitions in the compendium for the meaning of it is to be a creator. So let's just concept build with creator and maybe producer, just to show the method. It's a method that's important, certainly not to gain all the answers. So we begin the study with a concept building on creator. And in the mind creator compendium, Max says here, mind, God, is the only creator who creates, makes, begets, and produces all. And under creator, he says, it's through Annandale's definition, it says, creator means one who or that which creates, produces, causes, or constitutes. And a creator, therefore, means one who creates. And therefore, in the Funk and Wagnall Dictionary, we see that, now let's take the first one here. It's in the Annandale Dictionary, To create means to produce from nothing, to bring into being, to cause to exist. Then in the Funk and Wagnall Dictionary, the definition is to produce as a new construction out of existing materials. And then Max goes on to give some references from the textbook in general and gives us examples to look up. But as I mentioned, a student has looked up those examples, and we can get that fuller references to the compendiums under another cover. So he says that, shows that Mazzetti says that mind is a grand creator. The divine mind is the only creative power and thus made all. And Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, God created all through mind, and mind made all perfect and eternal. That God made all that was made, and mind signifies God, infinity, not finity. Mind made all, mind makes and clothes all, mind creates all identities, mind creates all. Thus man does not originate from a mortal, from a seed. His origin is not in matter, but in the divine mind. And then references from the textbook where Mrs. Eddy shows that mind made man made with a command of mind, man created by mind, mind makes man in the universe, mind is the only creator. And he says, Christian Science teaches and that it is clear in its teachings that matter and corporeal senses have no creative faculties, but that the creative power and the creative impulse are inherent in the divine mind alone. Therefore, as the textbook says, mind, not matter, is the creator. That creation is neither dependent on matter nor requires its aid. Mind made the plant of the field before it was in the earth. And because mind makes all, there is nothing left to be made by a lower power. The tree and herb have no propagating power of their own. Since mind creates all, creation cannot be simultaneously good and evil, spiritual and material. It is purely spiritual and good. For Mrs. Eddy said, God is mind, and all that mind God is and hath made is good, and he made all. Hence evil is not made and is not real. And she says, but this mind creates no element nor symbol of discord and decay. God creates neither erring thought, mortal life, mutable truth, nor variable love. And Max says that mind does not create wrong thinking, nor can wrong thoughts operate creatively. Spiritual man, whose only mind is a divine mind, can entertain neither erroneous nor mortal destructive thoughts. Mind creates all as ideas, and the science of creation is based on this. The science of creation equals mind and its ideas, mind's creation versus the mythical human theories of creation. Well, over and over and over again we hear that the divine mind made all, and that there is nothing left to be made by a lower power called man. My goodness, that refutes the whole second record of creation and man's belief as Adam man that we need to propagate the species in order to have creativity happen in life. It says that if God made all, there's nothing left to be made by a lower source, and therefore we see that mind's creation is already intact. The perfect pattern is already there. That it's only when we go out from the second record of creation do we buy into the belief of reversal, and the reversal is always duality. Again, that whole sense of the male-female concept of the need to propagate the species as set up by Adam and Eve. Something that has to be worked out within each one of our consciousness, but thank goodness it's a gentle evolving into the spiritual. There's one thing about spiritual teachings, and if they're right, it always shows that the evolution is gentle, through the Christ idea coming to us, taking us from a physical explanation through a more mental, moral explanation, human explanation, finally into a spiritual explanation. And we know that Mrs. Eddy shows this in her textbook, where the first chapter isn't Christian Science versus Spiritualism. It's a chapter on prayer, which is just all we need are those human qualities, is to desire to know God as He is. And there for the next chapter, again, human qualities. To be willing to give up that which in us that doesn't let us desire to know God as he is. And then it comes to the marriage chapter that says, well, that marriage is a concession to the human for the advancement of spiritual good, and that it shouldn't be entered into the human unless it is for the advancement of spiritual good. Only when qualities blend to bring out something higher is that a good marriage. Certainly if qualities blend to bring out something lower in experience, it wouldn't be called a good marriage.